Well, good morning. Welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church.
Let us pray. Father Jesus, you have been so gracious to us. You have been so faithful in the life of this church over so many years. We just ask for your special blessing today to be upon the many folks that are down in Rancho Santa Marta, that they may be an extension of our desire to serve you, that their service itself will be successful and just bring glory and honor to your name. We pray for the children that they will be touching, that lives will be met, or that lives will be changed, and as well as for our youth and our adults that are down there, that this become an experience that is unforgettable. We also pray and lift up Glenn Deerdorf and Jessica and Joshua Elder and their families as they just wait out the recovery of Glenn. Just heal his body from the kidney failure, from the onset of the flu that he had been dealing with. We also pray for Joshua as he's dealing with his children back in Arizona. We pray for Bob Schultz. And Father, just continue for your healing hand to be upon him as he just continues to deal with the setback that he has suffered from in his throat. And we also lift up Grace and Earl Johns and their family as they just continue to celebrate Earl's life these many years. And Father, we just ask for continued blessings upon this church as we move forward in our desire for missions, as we move forward in just worshiping you and just bringing your message of goodness and salvation into this community. Just empower us to be your servants. And as we close with the Lord's Prayer, Father, as we bring our tithes and offerings before you, Father, just bless them to work on your behalf, that they may just be bountiful and plenty in your sight. And in Jesus' words, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
But please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Jesus, you are our heavenly rock. You are the solid rock, Lord, on which we stand. Be with us today, Lord. Be with my words. Be with the ears that hear the message. Help us to respond. No, we will respond, Lord, to your love that you express to us. Again, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I mentioned before, today we're continuing the series on the seven last words of Christ. And the series will bring us back up to Easter. Today, we're about relationships. And the scripture for today is when Jesus is on the cross talking to his mother. Listen to the word of God. I do my part. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. So even suffering and pain, being on the cross, Jesus is concerned about his mother. He knows what's going to happen to him, but he also knows what will happen to Mary if she's not cared for. A single woman in that time without a husband or a son to take care of her would immediately become one of the lowest and poorest classes in that society. Being alone would have been very bad for Mary. So despite his great pain, he's thinking of her. That relationship is important. He also has a relationship with the disciple John, who's there too. And he knows that John will not refuse his request to take Mary in as his mother. So Jesus used the word woman, which to us sounds rather harsh. For the Greek word in the Bible, we don't quite have a real translation for that. I would look at it more like if talked to my mother, it would be more like something like, Mrs. Misfelt, this is your son, or ma'am, this is your son. So there's no disrespect in what Jesus says here. But there's also another time in John where Jesus uses the same word, woman, to address his mother. And that is at the marriage in Cana. So let us go to that scripture. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus invited his disciples, had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So Jesus can't respond, cannot deny a request from his mother. I mean, what son can deny a request from his mother? And Mary is confident of this too, because she doesn't even argue with him. She just tells the steward, "Do what he says." So this relationship between Jesus and his mother on the cross and at Cana kind of act as bookends to Jesus' ministry on earth. Cana takes place before his ministry is started. The cross takes place where one phase of his ministry is complete. And in that period, Jesus is taking the time to preach, to heal, and to send his disciples out. But Jesus also knows what is next. He will die. He will become the living sacrifice to atone for our sins. And why does he have to do that? Because of his Father God has sent Jesus. To get rid of the sin is to allow us to grow closer in our relationship with God. That's the whole purpose behind it. So you can look at the whole Bible as one effort by God to reach out to us, to reach out to you. And it starts in Genesis. God is in the Garden of Eden. He's walking along the garden. He's looking for Adam and Eve. And he cries out, "Where are you?" But at that point, Adam has sinned. He doesn't respond right away, because that sin has separated him from God, you know, at least a little bit. It's not until we go further on in Genesis that we get to somebody who does respond. God cries out to Abraham, and Abraham replies, "Here I am, Lord, here I am." That's the response that God wants. That's the response that you give when you're in a relationship with someone, especially a loving relationship. If your spouse or your mother calls out to you, you know, "Where are you?" You don't ignore her or him. You respond with "Here I am." You can look at, it said, the whole Bible is God pursuing us. A little bit later, God says to Abraham, "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." That's not just from God's side, it's from us too. That's really a relationship. That's really the core of the Bible. If you wanted to sum up what the Bible said in one sentence, it would go something like this: God wants a relationship with us. He reaches out to us, to you, to me. Man rejects God. God has to judge. But then God provides grace. And then God reaches out. And the process starts over again. God doesn't do this just once. He does it many times. He's done it many times for me. He's done it many times for you. God will constantly reach out to get you into a relationship with him. Just as Jesus reached out to his mother from the cross, reached out to John, that's what Jesus has modeled there. That's what God has modeled. So, after Jesus' death and before his ascension, he sends his disciples out. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So there's not just lip service. I said, you have to respond. So, is you've already responded, you're here in church, that's a type of response to God's love. You can study Scripture and pray, that's a type of response. I'm studying Scripture, I'm kind of into that now. But there's also reaching out to others. Because we should do what Jesus did, what he told his disciples to do. We should model that. We should be reaching out to others. Each and every one of you. Not just the professionals. You don't just take a Bible and throw it at someone. It's not drive-by evangelism. You know, you don't just pay someone and leave it up to professionals. No, that's not what God is calling us to do. Not at all. You need to build a relationship with them so they can hear the good news that God's given to you. The good news that he's reaching out for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your God. Well, do you have to respond by selling your house, going overseas, becoming an overseas missionary? Well, if God calls you to that, yes. But you don't have to. You just have to share. You don't need to go any further than this church. God has already done the work. He brings visitors into this church who want to learn, who want to explore God, who want to worship God. God has brought people to you that you can build relationships with. You know, when you see someone new, do you talk to them? Do you just kind of go into your own clique of people you're used to talking with? Well, is that acting out to build a relationship with people as God has built a relationship? In a former church, I had a friend, Mark Boone, and he had his own little ministry. He called it his hospitality ministry. If he saw somebody new at the service, he would invite them out to lunch, invite them into his home to start building a relationship with them right then. You know, total strangers. But isn't that hospitality? Isn't that how you got to know God? Somebody telling you about it? Not, you know, maybe some of you could read the Bible and get there, but for most of it, it's about a relationship. You have to make that human connection, and then that shows you the divine connection that you have. You know, and it can be where you're at. You can be flat on your back in a hospital room, on a bed. God could nudge you that the person in the bed next to you maybe needs to hear some good news. You could testify. You could be acting out on your faith while being sick in a hospital bed. Now, how easy is that? That's pretty easy, isn't it? We just have to respond to the loving relationship that we have with God. Well, let me tell you a little bit story. I was in college. I fell away from church. That's not uncommon. And the way I say it, my faith grew up. I grew up, but my faith did not. So one time, I was flying back from visiting my father in Wisconsin, and got talking to the man next to me, and he asked me about my faith. So I shared briefly, you know, kind of the situation. He offered to pray with me. I refused. I wasn't ready at that point. But yeah, I remember that God was there, reaching out to me, through this stranger. Eventually, through someone else, I did come back, obviously. I did come back to God. But you know, it's an example that anybody, any place, can be a witness for God. Well, this morning I want to highlight one way that you can build a relationship with people here where you're at. And that would be by, you know, having a Bible study. We have, it's pretty easy to invite a friend, a neighbor, a coworker to Bible study. It's non-threatening, right? And it's easy. You don't have to come up with a lot of stuff for it. But it's a way to respond. At West Valley, we have a shortage of Bible studies. Kim has people walking in the door visiting that say, I would like to join a Bible study. We don't have enough that we can send them to. What a shame is that? What a shame is that? So, I've asked Bill Johns to come up. As many of you know, the Johns have had a Bible study, ongoing Bible study for, 35 years. So let me, in this year of testimony and praise, ask John to talk a little bit about this Bible study.
Thank you, Todd. Good morning. I'm Bill Johns, and Todd has asked me to share some of my experiences and some of my dad's lengthy experiences of leading a Bible study group. Currently, our group consists of about 12 members, some couples, some singles, all with grown children, and many of us with grandchildren. So we have a lot of common things there. We currently meet on Monday evenings every other week, and we meet in some of the members' homes on a rotating basis. We're currently studying the book of Acts and using this Life Guide study series, which is an excellent series and has many different books listed on the back, study guides that are available. We've chosen this time the book of Acts. Our group has enjoyed this particular study, and we're delving into Paul's missionary journeys at the current time. As group leader, it's pretty simple. I organize the schedule, send out reminder emails, coordinate with the next person hosting, and then do some extra research and study as I prepare for my lesson. And what I like to do is bring in some of the contextual information, like we have Paul in Ephesus. I studied something about Ephesus and brought that kind of to life to people. What was it like in Paul's day in Ephesus? Add that kind of thing. So I'm doing that kind of thing. I'm not a biblical scholar or a theological expert by any means, nor is that necessary to be a Bible study leader. Rather, we're all learning together. The author of our study, Phyllis J. LePoe, in this case, she's the teacher, and she's laid out the meat of our lesson. There's great study questions in there, and I'm simply the study discussion leader, but not the teacher. So I try to make sure that each person has an opportunity to contribute, that we keep the discussion on track, ensure the main points are covered that were intended by the author. And then, most importantly, keeping us moving on a good pace toward our anticipated conclusion of each evening, which is our delicious dessert. So Todd asked me to talk about how all this got started. Well, I must give my dad the credit for all of that. Way back in 1978, my dad was approached by one of the elders to start a new Bible study group. Some of you may remember Ron Eckhart. My dad felt that he was very inadequate. He said, I should be the one that should receive the Bible study so I can not be a Bible illiterate. But after considering and praying, my dad told Ron that he felt that he could not be the teacher, but he could be a discussion leader. And Ron said, okay. That's great. Just ask the questions and keep discussion on track. And so with that beginning, they had a new member, a bunch of members gathered at their home. And Ron and his wife Linda participated for a time to mentor and help my dad get started. Ron felt it was important that not only have the Bible study, but also include personal prayer time when people could pray out loud and pray for one another. And as well, he thought that dessert was pretty important. They should do that for social purposes too. So my dad and mom continued with those principles and had a continual Bible study group, which changed in who was attending as people moved on or some people passed away, whatever. But they did have a viable group for the next 35 years. And Don and Pat Strandberg are currently the charter members who remain from that original group. During the past years, I've been blessed to enjoy more time with my parents, and one of the things that I did was start participating in their Bible study group, which I came to really enjoy and made some good relationships there. Several months ago, though, my dad, due to his declining health, had to give up the leadership of the Bible study. This was a hard decision for him because he had really come to enjoy this, and he thrived on it, as a matter of fact. He loved preparing, and he loved conducting those lessons. As I realized the day was coming when he would have to give it up, I felt God calling me and saying that I should step in. But, you know, I felt like he did 35 years before. I didn't know. He has big shoes to fill, as most of you know. I didn't know enough to do that, but I felt if I prayed about it and with God's help, I could probably do this too. So after my dad announced one October meeting that he could no longer be the leader and the group would have to disband, everyone was shocked and dismayed. But I did come to some of the members after the meeting and said, you know, I will be willing to do this, but I don't know where we're going to meet. And several people said, we'd be glad to offer our home, and let's do it on a rotating basis. So that's what we've done. And so for about 4 months now, we've continued. But as both my dad and I have experienced, you don't need to know a lot about the Bible. You just need a little time, some discussion leader skills, which many of us have through our workplace or our volunteer work. We've experienced those kind of things. We can do it. And as in other things God may call you to do, we can be his hands and feet, and he will give us the strength. So what are the rewards? Well, I talked to my dad about that yesterday, and I heard some things that even surprised me. He responded positively and emotionally as he told me the experience had greatly increased his personal faith and his understanding of the scriptures. In particular, I enjoyed learning who were the authors, what were they like, who was their audience, what was the reason that they put down those words, and what were the relationship between the different books, especially, for example, the four synoptic gospels. He studied and became familiar with many different translations of the Bible, and he liked to bring those differences into his lessons as teaching points. He also saw great reward in how the group of people grew as they responded to the prayer time and developed their faith and maturity over the years. For example, the depth of discussion and sincerity in verbal prayers that were spoken in support of one another. And he spoke very fondly about personal relationships, friendships, and special bonds that occurred throughout these 35 years and which last today. So I would encourage anyone to consider being a Bible study leader. It's a great experience. If you feel God calling you to serve in this way, then I certainly recommend that you step up and talk to Todd. Linda Bale is also our Bible study coordinator, so she's aware of all the various ones and can point you in the direction. You might just want to join one as a start, and then decide to take on your own after that. It's not necessary to have a mentor, although my dad was a great mentor, and obviously he had Ron Eckhart as his mentor in the beginning. But that's about all I have to say, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound too hard, does it? There is a missionary, there's an evangelist right here in this congregation. If you love God, shouldn't you be responding the same way? God wants a relationship with you. You can share the good news. Because we're not saved by a plan, we're saved by a person. That's how we react. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to respond to our love for you, to react, to put shoes on our feet, to our faith, to move, Lord. You showed us our love every day. Help us to respond, Lord. You are God. We are here. Thank you. Thank you, ensemble. It's who we live for every day. How do we respond? We have prayer card. Help you work your way through this Lenten season. You know, through the season where Jesus showed us how much he loved us. You know, I don't know what else to say. So go in peace. Remember how the Lord has loved you. Remember how God has loved you. And go follow that example. Amen.